Let's talk about approaching parked motor vehicles and legality behind it and some different perspectives and some approaches to how you want to do this. And a lot of guys get really confused and caught up in the language and what they can and can't do with the law. And you always have these bunch of knuckleheads that you work with that got a Monday morning quarterback. Everything you do, look, just focus on doing what you think is the best thing to do and don't act malicious. Just work within what you think is right. Let's talk about a couple cases I'm going to talk about today. It's going to be State versus George, 1992, and I'll attach these links. And the other case will be State versus Butler. Basically, State versus George, they talk about how there was a sergeant in the Patterson Police Department. He's on routine patrol. He sees a truck parked in a parking lot at 11:45 at night, and the defroster's on to defrost the windshield, and it's a high-crime area. He's talking to a woman. The officer walks out and requests motor vehicle insurance information, does a Terry-style stop. Not just a mere inquiry, and ends up leading to the guy's arrest for DWI. What the court said is the presence of the truck in the parking lot at 11:45 at night with his lights on, an engine running, and the driver talking to a woman, because they had a lot of prostitution going on in that area there. So be careful, boys, when you're out there and it's a bachelor party, you're looking for somebody to bring over to your buddy's house. Be careful. And a woman standing outside the cab provided sufficient cause for Sergeant D'Amelio to question the defendant. Accepting the trial judge's conclusion, the court reiterated that the officer had the right to come over and see what was going on. So good there. It doesn't look normal. It's 11:45 at night, high crime area, known for prostitution. She's standing there. You could approach the car like a Terry style investigative stop. Good to go. That worked out there. Then we got State versus Butler. This comes out of Fort Lee. And again, we go back to a high crime neighborhood in a hotel parked somewhere in Fort Lee, where it's known for crime. Officers see a car parked way away from the front office. It doesn't look normal, the car. The engine's running. They approach the car. They begin to speak with the guy. And they see weird stuff going on. He has a bulletproof vest on. They end up searching him, finding drugs and a gun. And they tried to challenge the legality of these officers approaching the car. Also, let you know, they actually had the rear window, the little guy, you know, behind the rear driver's side or the rear passenger side. The little one that was punched out. So technically it could look like it was a stolen car. It's a common thing you would see. They punch out that window, reach and unlock the car, and then take the car. So you have all this totality of circumstances, and it provides reasonable suspicion for the officers to approach. And here's some of the things the court said. The test for reasonable suspicion is whether, based upon the whole picture, that the detaining officer had a particularized and objective basis for suspecting the particular person stopped of a criminal activity. I just highlight some other things. An unconventional parking style and an engine in operation are additional factors which can augment an officer's suspicions. Here, the officers had the requisite, reasonable, and articulable suspicion that defendant was engaged in criminal activity. Several factors support the validity of the officer's actions, including the late hour of the night, the defendant's car engine was running, the defendant's rear vent window was broken, the defendant was sitting alone in the car, the defendant's car was parked unusually far from the registration office, and the defendant was in a high-crime neighborhood. New Jersey courts have routinely held that the lateness of the hour and high-crime status in an area are two important factors which can typically elevate an officer's suspicion that a person is armed and dangerous. So at the end, they throw that in there like, hey, if you're going to pat for somebody, like, we get that you guys work in these screwed-up areas. And this is New Jersey stuff, and this is constitutional stuff for everybody. What do you need to approach a parked motor vehicle? Well, it depends. Are you approaching them and not blocking their pathway? You know that case law that recently came out where you can't block their pathway and they feel free to retreat. You can walk up to somebody and engage them in conversation. If you don't have a lot to talk, you know, anything to work with to hold them at like a Terry-style investigative stop, you know, it's really more of a near-field inquiry, but you're allowed to talk to anybody. Now, factors can arise as you approach a motor vehicle where it will give rise to more reasonable suspicion. It may turn what was intended to be a near field inquiry into a Terry style stop where you can ask for documents and command those types of things. So don't be afraid to approach cars. You're allowed to. If you don't have a lot of suspicion to begin with, don't block people's paths. You got to let it seem like they feel free to leave and they can terminate the encounter. But you can talk to anybody at any time you're allowed to. Nothing says you can't. And you could build from that. You could start near inquiry and work your way up to reasonable suspicion of probable cause to an arrest. So hopefully that helps you guys out. Also, before I jump off of here, I'm going to, again, attach all this wording. But if you check out, we have now a video library for everybody who reaches out to me like, hey, you know, I have questions about this. We've done like 12 hours of videos, like 105 videos now. So if there's something you're not seeing right away and you're new to the group, go into the video library. You could search it. I've done videos. Hopefully they help everybody out. I know a lot of guys are getting stuff out of this. And that's that. Oh, and the October class. We're sold out for October, Monmouth County. We hit our max number. So we booked more classes November 28th and 29th, streetcoptraining.com. I know a lot of guys reach out to me constantly and ask me about where they can find the next upcoming list of courses that we have coming up. Streetcoptraining.com, just real simple to navigate. You could register right online. Even your agency can do it right online. If you guys have questions for me, reach out to me. Everybody knows that I get back to them rather quickly. Have a good night.